The white matter in the spinal cord is also divided into regions and areas. And in particular, there are three regions called columns on either side of the spinal cord in the white matter. And these columns, of course, contain tracts of myelinated axons that are traveling either to or from the brain. The two anterior columns are connected by the anterior white commissure, and they're going to, of course, be found in the white matter of the spinal cord, and there'll be a little area of white matter that borders the gray matter on the anterior side of the central canal, sort of in between the central canal and the anterior median fissure. And there are going to be two posterior columns as well. These are between the posterior gray horn and near the posterior median sulcus. And there's going to be two lateral columns as well, and these are going to be between the posterior and the anterior columns. And these areas, of course, are going to have axons that are going either up towards the brain or down from the brain through the spinal cord, relaying information in that way. The anterior white commissure, again, is the area where axons can cross from one side of the spinal cord to the other. And the tracts are bundles of axons that are relatively uniform in terms of their diameter and speed, and they tend to relay the same types of information in the same direction. Ascending tracts are going to contain sensory neurons or the axons of sensory neurons. They're bringing information toward the brain. And descending tracts are going to contain motor neurons that are bringing information away from the brain. And again, spinal cord injuries can result in paralysis or loss of sensation depending on where the injury is. In many cases, the injury is so large to the spinal cord that it's going to result in both paralysis and loss of sensation. Repairs to the spinal cord are fairly rare. These tissues do not repair very well, although there has been some progress made using stem cells and so on to work on that. If the person's spinal cord injury is above the fifth cervical vertebrae, they will most likely become quadriplegic, meaning that they'll lose the use of both their arms and their legs. If the spinal cord injury is in the thoracic area, the person will then become paraplegic, which means losing the loss of the legs, although the arms are still usable.